Hello, Playbackers. This is Ken Reed reporting on something that I thought was really neat. It's been in the back of my mind for years now, and I finally bit the bullet and decided to go ahead and do it. There are things called enclosures. And what they do is you can put any old hard drive that you might have laying around from a computer that failed you or something, and you put them into this box. The box has a USB port on the back of it. Some have USB port and FireWire on the back of them. And you can read that disk. You can write on that disk also, on that hard drive. So if you're interested in going to get one, there are various models around. The best one I've seen is from a company called Mad Dog. Don't let the name fool you. It's a very good enclosure. One of the best I've seen, the way it's engineered and the way it's very solid aluminum, anodized aluminum case. It's easier to install the hard drive in it than any other enclosure that I've seen. There are various kinds of these enclosures, and be sure when you get one that you know how to open it, because I broke a fingernail trying to open the Mad Dog because I wasn't paying attention. Some of them have to remove a screw to get them open, or a set of four screws. Some of them have this funny, I guess you call it a bump, that has to engage a hole. And when the bump engages the hole, it's closed, and to open it, you have to press on that bump so that it doesn't get, so that it falls down far enough in the hole so you can pull it out, pull the shell apart. At any rate, when you do this and you find a hard drive, whether you want to buy one or reclaim one, you ask for a 3.5-inch enclosure. The 3.5-inch enclosure is really about 4 inches, but that's what they call it, 3.5 inches. And that's the size of the disk drive, the hard drive. The one thing that you need to do when you get your hands on this hard drive is you have to remove the jumper block. There's a little jumper block that determines whether a hard drive is going to be a master or a slave. Just remove it and install it into the enclosure. And it works on USB 2. I'm not sure about USB 1. It might work on USB 1 also. You can find out. It won't hurt anything to find. And if you get it wrong, you won't hurt your computer if you do get it wrong. At least it didn't hurt mine. So I think it's a good. And you can buy one at like CompUSA, any computer store. I've seen them a lot of places. Most computer repair shops have them. And the Mad Dog was $50, but I got it on a sale. I paid $30 for it. But that's the general Mad Dog price is $60. Others are $40. But if you want the best I've seen anyway, get the Mad Dog. And if you have a SCSI drive, they even make an enclosure for SCSI drives, but they're like $160 or $200 or so. So it may not be worth your while to get a SCSI drive enclosure because they're very expensive. But Mad Dog does the trick. Well, that's it from here. Enjoy, everybody. Okay, hi everybody, this is Ken Reed. I'm going to talk to you about something I got here a couple of weeks ago because my mixer broke, and I believe it's a Behringer UBB-1002. The reason they call it 1002 is because for every channel there are two stereo inputs, and and it also has a microphone XLR input for each channel, and there's 5 channels. It has a recorder output, it has an earphone output, it has a line output. I don't know if it's balanced or not, I can't remember. It has phantom power, 18 volt phantom power. It has 3 9 volt batteries that you can use it in portable mode. It has a wall wart that is kind of nice because the wall wart has a cord that goes to your power strip, and has a cord that goes into the mixer itself, so it doesn't take up any much room on a power strip. And the cord that comes to the mixer is one of those cords that looks like a mouse cord, so it's keyed, it only goes in one way, you can't get it the wrong way, and you won't find anything that has a cord like that. It's got a tape recorder in and out that you can record right from this mixer, and every channel has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Every channel has 7 knobs and a fader. And it gives you quite a bit of gain. It's a real high gain mixer. It can be, if you don't get the impedance of your mics right, it can be kind of noisy. But if you do, there's nothing wrong with it. I mean, I've seen it be noisy because the impedance was not matched correctly to this mixer. Don't ask me what the impedance is. I haven't read the manuals for it yet. But it's a nice mixer. It does a great job. It's only 12 inches wide, about 10 inches front to back, and at its highest point, it's about 3 inches. The back panel where the microphone and all the jacks are sticks up about maybe a half an inch, 3/4 of an inch above the panel where the faders are. And nice thing about it is it has an earphone jack that's, you can change the volume on the earphone jack, which I didn't have on the last mixer that I had. I had a Samson last time. The one thing you have to watch out for is it has no dedicated return. You have to use the 5th channel for your return, and so because of that, you need to be careful that you don't get feedback. Because I have a like a little effects processor, a NanoVerb, and I can't run the gain up very high on that. I have to be, because it'll feedback. So that's the only thing that I found that I didn't like about the mixer. Other than that, each channel has a 3-band equalizer. And what I like about it, the equalizer here, is that the middle equalizer gives you a lot of mid-range. You don't want to go too far into the mid-range because it'll sound like a telephone call. But I've seen a lot of times when you need more mid-range, and this has got it in spades. So I guess that's about all there is to say about this mixer. It's you can get it at the Guitar Center, about $100, and for the money, I think it's a very good buy. Well, that's all I can say about that, and talk to you guys later. Don't have that problem.